You're listening to the Full Contact Fighter Radio Network.
Hey guys, this is Dennis Kang.
Hey, this is Mr. Cripples, a.k.a. the Cat Smasher.
Hey, this is John the Natural Alessio.
Hey, this is Rashad Evans.
Hey guys, this is the Big Frog, Jeff Curran.
Hey, this is Mac Danzig.
Hey guys, this is Jason the Athlete McDonald.
Hi, this is Ivan Salvey.
Hey everybody, this is Joe Peltier, Jay Dirksen.
Hey, it's Mark Machine Hunting here.
Hey everybody, you are listening to the world's most handsome fighter on the planet. Yes, this is El Guapo, and you are listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio with Kelsey Mowat.
Thank you for tuning in to Full Contact Fighter Radio. I am your host, Kelsey Mullen, coming to you from Vancouver, British Columbia, and joining us once again, he was sorely missed on the last episode, Mr. Brendan Lehrer. Brendan, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Kelsey. How are you?
I'm well, man.
Did you really miss me, or are you just saying that?
I just think it's good to stay in the good books of your legions of fans by saying that, you know, you were sorely missed.
Thanks, Kelsey. That's very nice of you. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's probably a little bit humiliating for you to finally realize that the world keeps on turning, even in your absence.
That's always something we have to come to terms with in our lives, Kelsey, so
yeah.
That's a good thing I just got it over with, you know, sooner than later.
Well, it's nice to have you back, buddy, and of course, we're going to be I'm heading out to Edmonton. We're going to be covering some fights this week in the MFC.
You bet. Back to the other ones, boy. I haven't seen you in probably, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
No, a year. I was there last year. We went to the spring MSC as well.
That seems like longer for some reason.
Yeah, well.
Maybe that's just my wishful thinking.
Well, hopefully this card is, and there's some great fights just like last time, because, yeah, last time I was there, there was the great fight between Patrick Cote and Jason McDonald, and it's kind of crazy how much can change in a year. You know, both those guys have gone on to have some success in the UFC, and kind of crazy. Lots can change in a year, but and on that MFC thread, we've got Mark Pavlich coming on the program. He's the promoter for the Maximum Fighting Championships. He's going to be joining us talking about the card this weekend, and as well, he's also the manager to Victor Valimaki, who's fighting on the MFC card, and Jason McDonald. It's probably most notable fighter, so we'll hear some updates about Jason McDonald from Mark Pavlich. And then we'll have Hermes Franca also on the program. He, of course, beat Spencer Fisher at Ultimate Fight Night last week, and he'll be here. Interesting to hear his comments. Huge win for Hermes, Brennan.
Yeah, it was an impressive win. I liked most of that card.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's get to it. You're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio.
Mixed martial arts history will be made as the International Fight League continues its 2007 inaugural season Friday, February 2nd at the Reliant Arena. See Boss Rutan's Anacondas battle Pat Miletich's Silverbacks and Antonio Inoki Sabres face off against Don Fry's Scorpion. Plus the super fight between MMA legends Matt the Law Lindland and Carlos the Ronan Newton. Be there Friday, February 2nd, 7:30 p.m. at the Reliant Arena. For tickets, call Ticketmaster at 713-629-3700 or log on to Ticketmaster.com.
You don't have to be a champion to dress like one. With the Full Contact Fighter Shop, we have all the MMA gear that you see so many of your favorite professional fighters wearing. NHB Extreme Fight Shorts, Camouflage Board Shorts, Corduroy and Camo Hats, Hooded Sweatshirts, to the classic FCF T-shirts, Full Contact Fighter Clothing is the number one mixed martial arts brand that any MMA fan must have. Now open is the FCF Sticker and Banner Shop. We have all your favorite IFL team clothing, plus a great assortment of low-priced Pride and MMA DVDs are now all available at the FCF Shop. To check it out, head to www.fcfighter.com, pick up the latest edition of the FCF paper, or call 516-676-0033. That number, again, 516-676-0033. Full Contact Fighter. The undefeated, no-holds-barred new source of the world.
Full Contact Fighter.
Undefeated, no-holds-barred new source of the world.
Joining Full Contact Fighter Radio is the promoter of the Maximum Fighting Championship, Mr. Mark Pavlich, and the MSC's got a big card coming up this weekend in Edmonton at the Shaw Conference Center, February 3rd. Mark, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good. How are you doing, Kel?
I can't complain, thanks. First off, Mark, I think the main fight that a lot of people will want to know about for this weekend is Victor Valimaki. He's going to be taking on Jared Kilkenny. And for maybe some people that aren't familiar with the Albertan mixed martial arts scene, tell us a little bit about Jared, and then I'll ask you a few questions about Victor.
Well, Victor is, you know, by far probably the best 205-pound fighter in Canada. He just, prior to going to the UFC, he beat Vernon Tiger White. He's beat Dan Severin. He destroyed Jason Day. So just, you know, and then he went into UFC and he lost a very close, controversial split decision to David Heath, right? So, to say the least, Victor's, you know, just 24 years old, and he's definitely on the upswing, so.
Yeah, and then Jared Kilkenny is also off to a great start in his young MMA career, and I think some people, when they heard about this fight, like I said, people who are more familiar with the Canadian mixed martial arts scene, some eyebrows are perhaps a little bit raised, and in my column for FCF, you just made the comment that no more babysitting, that some of your top flight fighters like Victor have made it to the UFC, they can expect to fight top flight competition in the MFC.
Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I think every organization in Canada has been, you know, in that position, not because they wanted to be, but the bottom line is that, you know, we've been stuck with sometimes, you know, you get this really good fighter and you got to put him with a soup can, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I vowed that in 2007 that I was going to become the most dominant organization in this country. And the reason why is because I have guys coming out, you know, I would say the split between me and PKO. I give Stefan full props out there in Quebec, you know, but the problem is he's stuck in Quebec, right? So most of the rest of Canada doesn't care what's going on in Quebec. So, you know, the bottom line is I have a great opportunity here to do these things, and I got Jason McDonald, who's doing phenomenal in the UFC, and I got Victor Balamaki, and I'm really going to pride myself on matching these cards up with just better fighters. I'm just going to take the soup and take it out of the can right now, and I'm not going to be putting those kind of people on my fight card anymore.
Yeah, and so tell us a little bit about Jared Kilkenny. He trains in Lethbridge, Canadian Martial Arts Center. He fought at heavyweight for much of his career, and then he's dropped down to 205. So what can fans expect to see in Jared Kilkenny?
Well, I think Kilkenny, the biggest fear everybody has with him is that he hits so hard. Like, he's just a very hard-hitting guy. And let alone he was hard-hitting at people said when he was fighting heavyweight, now he's actually had the work ethic and the pride to drop down to 205. So, like I said, this is a very, very dangerous fight for Victor. And, in 2006, probably would have never done this fight, knowing that if Victor wins this fight, he, you know, possibly is going back to the UFC. So, but now I can't do that no more, Kelsey. I have to start thinking of the Maximum Fighting Championship first and foremost, and technically their career secondary, because, I don't know, I can't do that with the fans. Like, we have so many great fans now, and they're demanding it, and so I have no choice anymore. You know, Victor has to fight guys that are gonna fight back.
Mm-hmm.
And same with, you know, I put Bray Wood from the Eskimos and Mike Maurer from the Eskimos, right? And most people thought, oh yeah, I'm going to put them with, you know, like guys that aren't very good, like I did with Maurer. The first fight Maurer had, I put him with a guy basically that my daughter probably would have tapped out, right? So those days are over. You know, Maurer's got a fight right now where, you know, most people think he's going to get whacked in this fight. And Bray Wood's fighting a guy that, same thing. I mean, he was a gold medalist in the Pan American Games in full contact karate, and then he's been training in MMA for the last year and a half, right?
Yeah.
So the bottom line is that I'm not going to be putting them with cakewalk fights. I'm not doing that for anybody anymore.
Yeah, and this card is called Gridiron, and of course you mentioned it features two Edmonton Eskimos. That's the professional football club in Edmonton for the Canadian Football League. And Mike Maurer is going to be taking on Roger Hollett, who's one of the better up-and-coming 205-pounders out of Nova Scotia.
Well, that's the thing, right? People are like, well, you know, the big question was, everyone was like, well, you're going to put Maurer with another, you know, Darren Apples. No offense to Darren Apples, but he's still not a well-versed MMA fighter, right? And the thing is that I told Maurer, you know, you want to get paid all this money and you want to, you know, get all this stuff, and no problem. But you're going to fight somebody now that's going to absolutely fight back. And I'll tell you right now, I know for a fact that Roger Holland and Ryan Jimmo were training on Christmas Day, because the last thing they want to be known as is the guys that got whacked in Edmonton, Alberta by the Eskimo football players.
And what's the response been like in Edmonton? I was at the last MFC that Mike fought on, Mike Maurer, who's one of the fullbacks for the Edmonton Eskimos. And there's a lot of attention. Is it even more so for this time around? You've got two Edmonton Eskimos?
The hype is a combination of Jason McDonald's great success in the UFC, accommodated by Victor Balamaki in the UFC, because they're the only two guys ever in Alberta to make it to the UFC. And then you put that on with the two football guys that are fighting, right? And there's a lot of hype about it. I mean, media-wise, there's more media for this event than any other event I've ever had before. And I'm not sure it's just because of the UFC fighting aspect, right? You know, of course, it's the mainstream football reporter people that are, you know, coming to this event as well.
Yeah. And another fight I wanted to ask you about is Jason Day versus Jan Pellerin. Jason Day, like you said, defeated by Victor Valimaki for the light heavyweight championship belt of the MFC. And Jason Day has really had a fantastic last couple of years, really turned his career around, and he's taking on Jan Pellerin. So people should look forward to that fight as well.
Well, the thing about the fight was that recently Jan Pellerin was injured. So, that fight has been, you know, Jason Day is on the rocks right now because most American people that have tried to get to come to fight Jason Day don't have a passport. So due to the new passport rules and stuff like that, we can't get guys across the border for Jason Day. I mean, Jason Day is going to be at the fight and stuff, but he's another you know, fighter that, you know, he needed to get beat up by Victor Valamaki to realize what he needs to do for his career. And I'm a huge fan of Jason Day. And I think you don't be surprised if you see him in the UFC in the next year or so either, because I think he needed to get beat up to realize, okay, this is what I need to do now, and I need to take this real serious. Well, since he fought, you know, Victor Valamaki, he's just smashed everybody's spot after that, so.
Yeah. Well, what are some other fights that some people can look out for? Ryan McGilvery, he's fighting?
Well, Ryan the Kid McGilvery, of course, because he's our prodigy, and he's going to be, you know, he's fighting at 170. And then I also have Steve Bruno. He fights with the American Top Team. He's going to be coming up here to fight Graydon Tanis. I have Sean Locke. He's the world Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu champion. He won in Brazil. He's with the American Top Team and with Fabio Holanda. He's making his MMA pro debut. He's also fighting on the card as well. So you're going to start seeing more of that, too. You're going to start seeing more American Top Team fighters, Brazilian Top Team fighters, and they're going to start coming to fight in my organization, and they're going to fight against guys from Canada. And if these kids really think they got what it takes, I'm going to give them an opportunity to prove that. You know, and if they don't, they're going to be exposed.
And it's an interesting sideline as well that you guys are having a fairly large event for your weigh-ins. That's going to be Friday night at West Edmonton Mall. Maybe tell us a little bit about that, Mark.
Well, you know, of course, you know, there's no school to go to be a promoter or to own a professional sports organization. So when I do go to the UFCs now with Jason and Victor, I do pay attention to a lot of the setup and how things should be. And it's a great learning process, right? So, you know, I got to make my weigh-ins a bigger spectacle. I got to make my event a bigger spectacle. I just got to make things bigger. And, you know, like I said, there's no other competition in my country besides and it's my friend who owns TKO. And I don't even look at him as competition. I look at him as the feed-off of, because his last show I went to was unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, when he had it at the Molson Center. So, I mean, there's other organizations that are putting shows on. I mean, it's great, and I know they're all in it for the sport and stuff, but to be honest with you, Kelsey, I don't even pay attention to them. I basically feed off of Stefan at TKO and vice versa.
And you also manage some pretty high-profile fighters now. Jason McDonald, you mentioned Victor Valamaki, so I wanted to ask you a couple questions about those guys and where they're at. Clearly, Jason continues to prepare for his fight with Rich Franklin, and he's been doing some training with Team Jackson, Greg Jackson, and that team, of course, Diego Sanchez, Keith Jardine, and Rashad Evans. Their successes are very well documented. Tell us a little bit about your decision, Mark, to have Jason go down and train with that camp.
Well, the problem with our stuff is not so much the training; it's the training. It's the actual training partners, right? And we run into the same problem with Victor Valamaki. We don't have the proper training partners for him. We have the proper training. We just don't have people for him to spar with like you would at Greg Jackson's place. Mm-hmm. And there's no secret right now that Greg Jackson's producing some of the greatest fighters in the UFC, right? So, I mean, we're fighting Rich Franklin. Once again, UFC thinks that, you honestly think, Kelsey, UFC thought that Jason was going to smash Ed Herman? They didn't. They thought he was going to lose. Just like they thought Chris Lieben was going to beat Jason McDonald, and Jason smashed him, too. So people don't realize, I think the same thing's going to happen to Rich Franklin. People don't even realize that Jason McDonald, he's such a phenom, and they look at his record, and they go, man, this guy's 18-7. But they got to look at those seven losses, man. You're talking about a guy that was working, you know, 12 hours a day schlepping as a prison guard, driving 4 hours a day to go train after all that, right? And that's where those losses came. Since he's been fighting full-time, the only loss he's ever had, I think it was Cote, and he still was kind of working during that time.
Yeah.
You know, but besides that, I mean, since he's doing this full time, he hasn't lost. So, I mean, you know, people think, oh, Rich Franklin's going to kill Jason McDonald. No, he's not. I'm just telling everybody right now, be careful where you're betting your money on this fight.
And then with Victor, what's his status concerning the UFC? You mentioned he had the split decision loss to David Heath, somewhat controversial in certain people's eyes. Where does his contract situation stand with the UFC?
Well, I kind of think that I believe that he wins this fight, he'll go back to the UFC, and you know, Joe Silva's always been very great with us, with my company, and you know, when Joe says something, it usually all, you know, 99.99% always comes true with us, and you know, so he made interest to bring Victor back as well, you know, because people realize, man, this guy's only like, he just turned 25 years old.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, and Victor, I think it was the best thing for Victor, too. I think he got, you know, when he lost a close decision like that, now he's upset, you know what I mean? So now he really realizes, like, that whole, you know, being polite with people and stuff like that, that's, I mean, he is outside of fighting, but inside of fighting, I don't think he's going to be too polite with people anymore.
Well, and tell us a little bit about his usual training partners. Who does he prepare for his fights with in the Edmonton region?
Well, he trains with me, you know, 90% of the time, right? Because most people already realize, right, I'm not going to teach how to armbar people better. I'm not going to teach how to do anything better. But the mental and physical aspect of this business, right, like I said, most people know. Like, I just signed probably the next heavyweight champ of the world recently, too. His name is Scott Junk, and he lives in Hawaii. And people, you know, like I said, I think there's a lot of hype on a lot of fighters in the UFC, and you know, rightfully so for some. But there's a majority of them that are in the UFC right now that are just so overly hyped, it's not even funny. And I got guys that are going to come there and make a difference.
So who does he train with as well? I mean, you mentioned, like, in your pro camp, who are some of the other fighters that you've got under contract and some of the guys that help your fighters prepare?
Well, Victor, Jason, right? Scott Junk from Hawaii, Ryan the Kid McGillivray, Fabio Holanda, right, who's going to be fighting Stout coming up here real soon.
Yeah.
And, you know, that belt's gonna look awesome, man, in their gym and back in Gamo, back in Montreal, because he's gonna beat Stout too on February 9th, right? No big surprise, everybody thinks, you know, but he's gonna win too. So, I mean, these are great athletes, right? And I only surround myself with guys that I actually think that have the character and the heart to duel really far. That's why I don't manage, you know, 50 guys. I manage, you know, 5 or 6 guys, and that's the way it's always gonna be. So I'm not going to start, you know, building up, you know, 50 guys in my stable to manage and train and stuff like that. I have a very select group of guys, and they're all going to be very successful at whatever they do.
And you know, of course, Jason, you mentioned Jason McDonald's accomplishments, and certainly up here in Canada, Jason's been a well-known commodity for quite some time, and now because of his successes in the UFC, people are starting to sort of catch wise to his abilities. And now there's already speculation, and I understand from your guys' point of view, you don't want to look past Rich Franklin, that certainly will be Jason's toughest test to date. But if you start dealing in hypotheticals and if Jason gets by Rich, where do you think he stands then? And do you think Travis Luter is going to, do you think he's got a decent shot against Anderson Silva?
I do. And you know what? A lot of people do. Like, Anderson Silva's a stud, man. And so, you know, but I think Luter matches up good with him, right? So, you know, we'll see with that. But I really, Kelsey, I don't do that anymore in this business. I definitely don't look past a guy like Rich Franklin, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't even fathom looking past him. The only thing I do think about is, you know, basically selling out my show this weekend and Jason beating Rich Franklin right now. And there's nothing else I actually think about. So just those two things.
And we've had Jason on the show a couple times. You know, it's interesting to hear his thoughts and the elation in his voice as far as his recent successes. But what is it like for you, Mark? You've managed him for quite some time. What did it mean for you to have Jason go down and beat two guys that most people didn't think he was going to?
When my son was born and my daughter were born were the two greatest highs in my life, and then that is a very close to that. Mm-hmm. That I'm just trying to give you the elation, you know what I mean? Because I dreamt about this all happening, and I dreamt about Jason going where he's going, and same with Victor and same with everybody else, and now it's happening. So it's like, you know, it's almost semi-surreal, and at the same time as you realize you can't get caught up in that because there's just so much work to do. So, you know, I'm very proud of Jason and Victor and just all these guys, man. I mean, they believed in what I told them, and they you know, I just kept telling them over and over. I mean, you think when Jason lost, you know, back in the day, even to, like, Caleb Starnes, which should have never happened, right? We're sitting in the dressing room looking at each other like, you know, what's going on here, you know, kind of thing. And then when we got things worked out, we realized, you know, Jason has the ability and the athleticism to go very, very far in the UFC. So,
And you mentioned... I was just going to say, you mentioned that Jason no longer has to work. He was a corrections officer, and he's no longer doing that. And that must have meant a lot as far as increasing his training time, I would imagine, making him more available. Yeah.
We never had opportunities to go to Greg Jackson's. We never had the opportunity for the, like, people have to fathom the idea that Jason lives in Red Deer, Alberta, and that he had to drive, you know, 20 minutes every day to work and then had to drive back home and then drive to Edmonton, Alberta. Get out a map, everybody, and see what he's doing every day.
Yeah.
So people think this, like, this is not some story. This is the reality of it all, right? And I'm not making excuses, but when people are going, how come his record's 18-7, you know? Because I would say 6 of the 7 were, you know, during the process of this whole, you know, working 12 hours a day and driving and, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, and you know, in his main training partner, you know, in Red Deer. Like, we just weren't set up properly, and now we are set up properly. That's why, you know, there's no surprise that we beat Ed Herman and we beat Chris Wiebe, you know?
Yeah.
Jason fought terrible in the first round and still choked him unconscious in the second round. Christine Lieben is 16-2, man. This guy's no joke, right? So people are like, Jason didn't do good. Well, what are you talking about? He still choked him out unconscious. No one's ever choked that guy out unconscious.
Well, and he's always very gracious towards Josh Russell, who's his jiu-jitsu instructor, runs his own Gracie Baja school in Calgary. So maybe tell us a little bit about that. Jason started training with Josh, if I'm not mistaken, a little over a year ago, and it seems like Jason gives a lot of credit to Josh as well in improving his game.
Well, Josh Russell is known as the Gringo, right? And I'm telling you right now, the Gringo, he just had mad jiu-jitsu, right? But he has, like, violent jiu-jitsu, you know what I mean? So when you see guys, like, leaving and getting choked on unconscious, you know, that's that mad Gringo jiu-jitsu, right? So, I mean, what are you going to say? Like, it almost sounds like I'm bragging, you know, but it's not. I mean, these guys got talent. I mean, Josh Russell, you know, got his black belt in Brazil, you know? He just knows his stuff, you know? And it's like you put a combination of that together with what I know and what Greg Jackson knows. You think anybody of us are going to be surprised when he beats Rich Franklin, you know, on March 3rd? Nobody's going to be surprised. Oh, no, wait, Joe Silva will be surprised.
Well, Mark, I think there'll be a lot of people surprised, but I know you're definitely not one of those people you're definitely not counting on Jason, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Hey, listen, man, I make more money now betting on Jason than I do with it, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, half of Alberta bets on Jason, and then people are making a living now betting on Jason McDonald because the odds are so far-fetched the other way all the time that they just don't think this guy's going to win, right? But don't bet against Jason McDonald, people. You're making a mistake.
Well, Mark Pavlich, we appreciate you coming on the program. Never one for lost words. We appreciate you coming on the program, and I'm going to be, both Ben and I are going to be at the fights, man. We're going to be reporting on it. So
have a good time, and you'll realize the MFC has the most notorious after parties in the history of MMA, so you'll really have a lot of fun here.
All right, Mark, well, take care, and best of luck this weekend with the MFC Gridiron event.
All right, Kelsey, thank you.
Okay, take care.
A person who gets punched in the face for a living doesn't know what fear is. Pain doesn't exist if you train more than 30 hours a week. Someone who fights with broken bones has a totally different definition of agony. Bodog Fight mixed martial artists know that fear, pain, and agony won't last. But the glory of having your hand raised at the end of the fight, that lasts forever. Bodog Fight, St. Petersburg. Don't miss any mixed martial arts action. Check your local listings or visit BodogFight.com for details.
The best coverage of the toughest fighters in the toughest sport can only be found in Full Contact Fighter. For over a decade now, FCF has been bringing mixed martial arts fans across the globe in-depth reporting of the world's greatest sport. From Brazil, Japan, Europe, Canada, and the U.S., FCF brings you all the fighter bios, event reports, training and technique tips any avid MMA fan would want. Every month, 12 times a year, we do it. Full Contact Fighter is your best source for MMA coverage. Pick up the latest edition of the paper by subscribing at www.fcfighter.com or call 516-676-0033. Again, the number 516-676-0033. Full Contact Fighter, the undefeated, no-holds-barred news source of the world. And when you call, tell them that FCF Radio sent you.
Hey, this is Kurt Batman Pellegrino, and you're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio.
Joining Full Contact Fighter Radio is Mr. Hermes Franco, who, of course, is coming off the big win over Spencer the King Fisher at Ultimate Fight Night last week. Hermes, thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, man, I'm feeling great. Thanks, God, you know. And I'm so happy.
Yeah, I have a few questions for you. I'm sure Brennan does, too, in regards to the big win. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
Hermes, what was it with your game plan going in against Spencer Fisher? He's well known for his stand-up. You look more than comfortable, obviously, standing with him. He won the fight via that route. What was your game plan going in, Hermes? Did you intend on trying to stand with him and see where you were at?
As my game plan was, like, try to take him down and ground and pound him. Well, I had been training a lot of boxing, you know, because I had a good boxing guy in my academy, you know. But in the second round, I couldn't take him down, and I said, man, I have to believe in my hands. You know, and I believe in myself, and I did a great job.
Hermes, your stand-up looked a little more unconventional than usual, and the shots you were throwing were coming from way down deep. Then did you decide to stand more unconventionally with him because he's such a precise boxer, just to give him a bit of a different look, or is that it? Is that the new stand up 2007 Hermes Franca?
No, it's my style. You know, it's my style. Every boxing guy who I sparring, you know, when I change my style for my real style, you know, I get the guy. Because he say, Hermes, you know, I don't know where your punch is coming from. When I try work like a regular boxing, you know, it's easy to you see my jab, you know, but when I go crazy, when I punch wild punch, no, you never know. It comes from anywhere. So that's my style and I like it.
Well, it certainly seems to be very effective, and you see a lot of fighters actually maintaining a sort of wilder, more unconventional style. Do you think that there are limitations to sort of learning conventional boxing in MMA? Do you think that's too steep a learning curve for someone who's coming from a ground background?
No, it's a kind of like, of course I want to change my game, you know, I want to do like a technical boxing, you know, would you love to? Because when you punch like that, you spend a lot of energy. But, you know, like, step by step, well, I don't know, I'm happy what I do. So, you know, I think I'm going to keep like that, you know, And you still work my ground and pound. I think I did good against Spencer Fisher, you know. I did win the first round, and the second I knocked him out. So, you know, what I'm going to do is, like, work my cardio. That's what I have to do. I think that's the great point right now in my game. If I don't know exactly if I'm going to fight against Sean Sherk, but if I have to fight him, I have to work my cardio.
Well, and that leads right into my next question. Of course, at the end, you did the GSP impersonation and begged Dana White for a title shot against Sean Sherk, and the camera panned to Dana White, and that certainly gave him a chuckle. Any news on that front, Hermes, as far as a title shot with Sean?
Yeah, like, I asked Dana White. He says a kind of 90%, you know, not 100%, and maybe it's going to be in July. Well, I hope so, you know, like, I did so great in 10 months, you know, in the beginning of 2006 to right now to today, I did great. 8 fights in 10 months, you know, against good guys, you know, a lot of guys ask me, oh, Hermes, you fought against Jamie Varner, you fought against Nate. Tough kids, guys, tough kids, you know, they can be a number one contender soon.
Yeah.
They are so tough. So well, I think I deserve a fight for the title, definitely.
Well, I don't know if you saw this month's Full Contact Fighter issue, the paper, Hermes, but you were named Full Contact Fighter's Comeback of the Year winner. So because of your performance last year, did you know that?
Oh, excuse me, say again.
You were named this month's Full Contact Fighter, the paper. You were named 2006 Comeback Fighter of the Year because of your performance.
Oh man, that's awesome! That's awesome! Thank you, man. I'm so happy. You know, like day by day, I'm more happy, more excited. You know, and that's what I wanted to do right now is be the UFC champ, get the belt.
Do you ever use that that technique of getting on your knees and begging to get dates from women?
Yeah, that's how I got my wife. Yeah,
that's how I got mine too.
Yeah, right on the knees. Yeah, boy, you know what? It's funny because Mr. Dana White he told us and say, "Hey guys, before the fight, day before, right after the weigh-in, he said, guys." You know, if you guys want to ask for the title, ask. If you guys want to ask to fight against someone, you guys can ask. So I say, you know what? That's my opportunity right here. And I ask to fight against the title, you know?
Well, and where would you rank Spencer Fisher, Hermes, as far as your career? You mentioned that you've had some big wins as of late and some big names. Where would you put that win over Spencer in your career thus far?
Oh man, it's like I told you, I'm still happy, you know, I'm still feeling so great. Because Spencer Fisher he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know, he just lost twice before a fight against me. you know, and he's good. He has fast hands. Well, you know what? What I can say is, like, I have a great team right now. You know, my mind's so clear. That's what I like to do is fight. You know, I have great partners like Kurt Pellegrino, Walt Blois, Rafael Chaves, Getz. I have 6 Brazilian black belts on my academy. You know, we have almost 10,000 square feet, almost 200 students. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, wow.
So, you know, like, before my fight, before I step in the cage, I say, man, this guy's not going to beat me, you know. I have a great team, like I told you. I have a great team, great students, you know. I said, man, this guy's not going to beat me. And I gave my best.
Well, what do you think? I mean, Sean Sherk, a lot of people are saying that he could be the lightweight champion for quite some time. And I think it's safe to say anyone would say defeating him is somewhat of a daunting task. What do you think? What do you have to do to beat a guy like Sean Sherk, Hermie? He's a guy who's so powerful, such a great wrestler. What do you have to do to beat a guy like him?
Yeah, is it my place right now? What I have to do, I think I have to keep training hard, double, because, you know, Sean Sherk is a good fighter, athletic guy, you know, good wrestler. You know, I don't think he's going to, like, he's not, I think Spencer Fisher was worse than him, in my opinion. A lot of guys, you know, tell me that. I say, Hermes, I think Spencer Fisher is the worst than Sean Sherk. But Sean Sherk, in my opinion, how he can beat me is like working his wrestling ground and pound, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's not going to submit me. He's not going to knock me out. But, so what I have to do is keep training hard for five rounds, you know, and looking for submission. That's what I do, you know?
Do you think it's going to be important that you be able to take Sean Sherk down at least once or twice?
Oh, definitely, you know. I have great wrestlers over here. But the most important right now, what I can think is, like, if I stop his takedown, you know.
Yeah.
If I stop his takedown, I think it's going to be better, you know. I'm not worried about taking him down. Because if I took him down, I know I'm going to spend a lot of energy because he's wrestling. I'm going to try, of course, if I can. And he's going to try stand up, and I'm going to spend a lot of energy. But if I sprawl, if I stop his takedown, it's going to be better. I'm going to make him spend more energy.
What hair color do you think you're going to go with for the fight with Sean Sherk, Hermes?
Man, I don't know, you know. Day before I find out, I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
Kelsey and I are both Canadians, so you should try in red and white.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, definitely, you know.
With a maple leaf.
If you guys have given me ideas, you know, I'm going to do that, definitely.
Yeah, because you've done the purple, the green. What else has been in the recent
purple,
colors?
Purple, green, yellow, you know, red. Right, I did before at the Total Combat in June, I think. Yeah, what's funny?
Maybe a gray, you know, Sean, the Muscle Shark shirt, maybe a gray, throw them off a little bit.
Yeah, right? definitely, yeah.
Well, I think the last time we had you on the show, Hermes, you just defeated Joe Jordan, the Triangle Choke, UC 61, and then you came back, I believe that's when you're on the show, and then you beat Jamie Varner, took on Nathan Diaz. You know, I want to get back to your year last year where you had such a great career year. The year before, you had a couple tough losses. So where were you at mentally at that point, Hermes? Did you at any time contemplate giving up competition or anything like that, or did you always know in your heart that you'd be back and become a force again in the lightweight division?
Yeah, like you say, like in the last point, is like I think that I say, man, I'm so good, you know. I can't give it up, you know. It's more for my family, you know. And I say, you know what, because I know how good I am. That's the most important. I don't want to be like, you know, like say something different, but if I say I know how good I am, you know, I'm not a guy who's gonna beat everybody. But right now, fight by fight, I feel strong, you know. If you guys can see, like in 2005, oh man, well, I think was like 3 losses in a row, you know,
yeah.
It was horrible. In 2006, I was, oh man, you know what? I can't stop here, you know. I'm a warrior, you know. I came here to win, and that's what I'm gonna do. And fight by fight. Of course, you know, in 2005, I learned a lot, you know. I learn a lot. I say, man, you know, with my loss, I say, man, you know, it's horrible. I'm going to train more and more, you know. I'm going to, you know, go home, go to my academy, train. That's what I have to do. Stay with my family, stay close to God. That's the most important. And that's what I did, you know.
Yeah.
Hermes, what is your jiu-jitsu lineage? Who did you get your black belt from?
Yeah. I got my black belt and I was at the Silveira Brothers. Marcelo Cohn, I got my black belt from, I was like 10 black belts I got from Marcos Aurelio. He was my coach in Brazil. I got it from Cohn, you know, like 10 black belts, Ricardo Libório, and I got my black belt, I think it's 2002. And I was so happy.
Well, and it must have been nice for you, too, that the last Ultimate Fight Night, of course, took place in Florida, and it looked like you had some fans there. That's, of course, where the Army, your gym's located, is in Florida. Did you have quite a few fans there in the crowd? It seemed like there was some support there, Hermes.
Oh, man, all my students was there, you know, kids, parents, you know, students, friends. Was unbelievable. And it was on Spy TV, you know,
yeah,
and for free. So definitely the MMA world, they was waiting for that fight. You know, I got like after my fight, I got like 100 calls. You know, say Hermes, congratulations, you did a great job. So you know, you guys fans and you guys who work in the MMA world, just make me feel strong. You know, day by day. Mm. Thank you guys too.
It's our pleasure. Brendan, you have anything else for Hermes?
That's it. Congratulations, Hermes, and we look forward to seeing you fight, hopefully, for the championship in June.
Oh, man, thanks, bro. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Hermes. Take care.
See you, buddy. Take care, bro.
Does your neighborhood sound like this every night? Well, if it does, maybe it's time you get ready to rumble and pick up some instructional martial arts DVDs from the Full Contact Fighter website. FCFighter.com has a great assortment of DVDs, and if you feel you can learn how to scrap just by watching the pros fight, then take a look at our great selection of MMA events from all over the globe. FCS prices will not be beat. Head to www.fcfighter.com or call 516-676-0033. That number again, 516-676-0033. Hey guys, Kelsey Mode here from Full Contact Fighter Radio. Listen, if you have any comments, questions, or just want to flat out tell me off, contact me at radio@fcfighter.com. That address, again, is radio@fcfighter.com.
Any correspondence that is sent to Mr. Mo must be presented in business letter format in an aerial script with a font point no larger than 12 and no smaller than 8. All letters must be written in UK English and must be received by Mr. Mo before no later than 12 hours prior to the posting of this program. Any fiscal donations must be in Canadian currency, and please pay no attention to this previous statement.
Welcome back to Full Contact Fighter Radio. I'm Brendan because I'm getting the... be heading out later this week to Edmonton. This is going to be the only chance we have to do a radio show this week, which is unfortunate, but I guess we should start talking about the UFC 67 this weekend, and I guess we're going to have to watch that house at your place then, buddy, right? Just like old times.
You betcha.
Yeah. Have to watch the replay or whatever. So let's get into it. Let's make our picks, I guess, for the card. Last week for the Ultimate Fight Night, we didn't really... get a chance to do that, but any quick thoughts on Ultimate Fight Night before we look ahead to UFC 67?
No, I thought it was a great show. Again, a great free show. I guess the only disappointment was Heath Herring's first fight in the UFC, but we'll see how much that apparently he had a busted up knee, and which might explain a lot of his bizarre approach to the fight. And his complete inability to stop the takedown. But we'll see. We'll see if he can bounce back from that. I'm sure he can.
Yeah.
And the other fights were fantastic.
Yeah, and on the Heath Herring thread there, I mean, it also looked like he had really no power to try any kind of sweeps or any real mobility on the ground. And I've seen him in past fights where he might not be necessarily a jiu-jitsu wizard, but he certainly is in the past, some of his pride, more memorable pride performances, he's always exhibited a lot better ground game, a lot more ability on the ground than he did in that fight.
Well, there's no doubt. You know, there's no doubt that something was wrong. You know, it's tough to say. It's tough to say just by looking at him. But just the boxing stance that he came out with was absurd for someone who's trained as a basically trained as a Muay Thai kickboxer. It just made no sense whatsoever. So you kind of knew something was up. And even if he was, you know, crouched, hunkered over to defend the shot, you know, that's no way to do it. So.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see if there's any kind of confirmation that comes about with his injury. I know that at this point I've only seen things on forums, chat forums, etc. So it'll be interesting to see if what exactly is the confirmation on that injury. And yeah, I'm not sure about the pose that he was doing. Certainly, they say that you should stay more level to the ground to avoid shots. But when you're dropping your left arm like that, you'd think that. Somewhat lessens your ability to get underhooks and squash a takedown, but I'm not a wrestling expert.
It didn't look like it made much sense from any perspective, but we'll see. It raises an interesting question, and that is, if you're injured, should you fight? You know, like who benefited by Heath Herring fighting that fight if he was indeed injured?
The fans
certainly didn't benefit. He didn't benefit. The organization didn't benefit. So what's the point?
Yeah. Well, I mean, credit to him, I guess, for bearing with it and trying to put on a good show and trying to finish the fight. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. Let's get into UFC 67. The first fight I want to ask you about, Terry Martin versus Jorge Rivera. That's middleweight action. Who do you like in this fight, Brendan?
I've got to go with Rivera just because I really don't like Martin's style and haven't been impressed by him in the octagon whatsoever. So I'm going to go with Rivera in this one. But I don't expect any fireworks.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm going to go with Rivera. It'll be interesting to see how Terry Martin comes out. And I guess for that matter, too, Rivera. But I think I'm going to go with him as well. I just think that he's a little bit more well-rounded than Martin and probably will get the win. The next fight, Sam Hogan versus Lyoto Machida. And there's some interesting background to this. Lyoto Machida, of course, for a long time, his claim to fame was the only man to have beaten Rich Franklin. I saw his fight, the Fight Network show, at the WFA, Brendan, this last Sunday night, and I had never seen the WFA. And, I certainly know that fight with Vernon White, although it had a few interesting moments, it wasn't exactly, it wasn't on the edge of my seat, his fight, Machida's fight with Vernon White.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was definitely the stinker of the card, and I don't know really what was going on there, because, Vernon White's had some amazing stand-up fights, just this fight with Chuck Liddell being a perfect example of that. So I really don't know what was going on, and hopefully Machida doesn't come in and show like that in the UFC, because I don't think he'd be around very long if he did.
And this fight, it's going to be interesting, because it will be interesting to see how the UFC sort of markets Machida, that is, assuming that he gets by Hogar. Because, like I said, the WFA tried to sort of hype him up as the only man who would beat Rich Franklin, and he certainly beat BJ Penn, which was grossly outweighed BJ Penn, Penn was fighting grossly out of his normal fighting weight, I guess it's safe to say. And, Machida, he's one of those guys, he has some impressive wins, beat Stephen Bonner. He certainly could be a potential contender in the UFC light heavyweight division, but I think the jury might still be out on that, and his performance against Hogar, I think, will determine very much so whether or not he will be.
Yeah, I think so too. Me as well, I've only actually seen him fight once, and that was his fight. I didn't see the Penn fight. I only actually did see him fight Ryan White, so that left such a bad taste in my mouth. I really can't comment about his potential. It will be interesting to see how they show him, or how he comes out, and whether or not he does put on a good show.
And do you have a pick in this one then?
It's tough. I really don't know enough. I really don't know enough to say. I think that Hogar has never really been blown out, and I think his jiu-jitsu is probably good enough that he won't get submitted. So I can't see it. I can definitely see this going to a decision. And I can't really say either way.
Yeah,
I'm going to abstain. Picking in this.
Fair enough. I think it's tough to say as well. I think I might just be tempted to go with Machida just because he is a very well-decorated Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioner, and he does have some decent stand-up capabilities from what I've seen. I've only seen him fight a couple times as well, but I think it will be a tough fight, but I think I'll go with Machida. Next up, a really interesting middleweight fight between Patrick Cote versus and Scott Smith. We talked a little bit about this, I believe, on the last show that we did, and we talked to Travis Luter a little bit about it. Brennan, for me, the key to this fight is going to be whether or not Patrick Cote can get Scott Smith to the ground. And I think we discussed this, and I think you kind of disagreed with me. I just think from watching both those guys' stand-up games, although Patrick's is good, I think Scott's is better. So I think in order for Pat to win this fight, he's going to have to get Scott Smith to the ground, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I don't see him winning actually this fight on the I don't see him winning this fight on the ground. I think his jiu-jitsu is not he shouldn't be confident in his jiu-jitsu. I don't think at this point after his last showing enough to be able to sort of put faith in winning it on the ground. So I'm going to say, he's got to win it standing on his feet, and I guess it depends whether or not Cote can land that one punch and put someone away on their feet, and he hasn't been able to do that thus far in the UFC, so I think I'm going to err on the side of Smith in this fight.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Smith as well. It's, Patrick Cote being a Canadian, I've followed his career for quite some time. He's been on the show a couple times. It's kind of tough, I got to admit, it's... like I said, I followed his career for quite some time, but we've had Scott Smith on the show too, a great guy as well, and I think I'm going to go with Scott Smith on this too. Next up,
the question will be, where has Scott Smith got to go from his last fight? The sort of highlight reel knockout. What else can he show now? What's he going to have to do? I think he's going to have to do like one of those Pele upside down soccer kicks to the face or something like that.
Yeah, that would be sweet. That'd be sweet.
No one's tried that yet.
No, it's surprising. No one's tried it. No one's tried to swan dive someone off the top of the cage either. So.
Yeah, no, Crazy Horse did that in King of the Cage, so that's been done.
Quentin Jackson versus Marvin Eastman. This is a big fight, a huge fight, really, for the UFC. It would be really shocking and I think very disconcerting for the UFC and Dana White if Quentin Jackson were to lose to Marvin Eastman, because in a span of just over one week, you'd have two key signings losing their first fight in the organization. Brendan, what are your thoughts on this fight?
I think, the Beastman's got a legitimate shot. This is no, I don't think he has I think he's got better than a Holpin Sanchez to win this fight. And Rampage has shown that when he's had long layoffs, that he sometimes comes back slow, and it all depends. For Rampage, it all depends on where his head's at and how his training's gone and really if he's motivated to fight. So we'll see if now that he's gotten his cheese, we'll see if he's can step it up and fight the good fight. I think he is. I think he'll probably realize that to get more of his cheese that he'll probably have to show very well in his first couple fights. So I think he's probably been motivated enough in training, and I think he'll probably take this, but I'm gonna say that this is gonna go to a decision.
Right, really?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Jackson as well, and I do think that people would be foolhardy to overlook Marvin Eastman. He is a very well-rounded fighter, especially his wrestling. I've seen him fight in a couple times, clearly, and I've also seen him fight live, he's got his wrestling. I think a lot of people underrate, and I think for that reason, he's gonna give Quentin Jackson some difficulties. That being said, I think that Quentin probably has the edge standing, and I'm not sure if he'll really even try to win it from that point. I kind of suspect that Quentin's going to try to win this fight from the clinch. I wouldn't surprise me if you see kind of a similar fight to his fight with Matt Lindland, actually. So
I don't think that Quentin has the advantage in stand up. Over Eastman. Eastman's got excellent stand-up, and I think just because he's a former football player and kind of a big lug that everyone thinks he's just basically falls back on wrestling, but he's got great stand-up.
Oh, yeah, so. He does. Yeah. But, I mean, Quentin Jackson's got great stand-up, too, I think. So.
I think his stand-up's okay. I don't think it's great.
Well, I don't know, buddy.
Not that I would ever say that to his face, if he was walking down the street with his fur coat on, but...
Well, no, I think that's what I was kind of trying to get to, is that I don't think he has a clear enough standing advantage that he's going to want to risk that with Eastman, and I'm not sure if his wrestling's better, whether or not he'll be able to take him down and get the ground and pound. That's why I wouldn't surprise me if he tries to win it from the clinch and get some elbows, some knees in there, and maybe slam Eastman down and work the fight from that point. I'm going to go with Quentin Jackson. I think he's going to win. It wouldn't surprise me if he stops Eastman, but it also wouldn't surprise me if he goes to decision, which is kind of me flaking out a little bit. But
I think Eastman's kind of a bad luck guy. He's just had really bad luck in the UFC, and he kind of works his way up, and then just kind of blows it when he gets to the top. So I think he's got a lot of potential. Still, I think he's got a lot of potential. So I think this is his big chance to shine as well. So I think this is going to be a tough fight.
Mirko Krokop versus Eddie Sanchez, and this fight, I mean, even with Quinton as well, it's almost like you see some of the media pieces that the UFC are doing, and you see some of the interviews. I mean, Krokop hasn't been interviewed, but even with Quinton Jackson, the questions are just fielded to these guys almost as if it's just a given that they're going to get past, Marvin Eastman, get past Eddie Sanchez. I guess no one really is going to pick Eddie Sanchez, but let's not forget, no one picked Kevin Randleman to beat Krokop the first time and got in that left hook and won.
Yeah, I think Krokop's such an interesting, such an interesting guy, because he reminds me so much of a sort of old school mercenary. You know, he's not training in the States. He doesn't really seem to care about anything anything that has to do with hyping up the UFC. Still, you haven't seen him on TV.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing his usual training, and at the same time, just after having talked about signing, just after having signed a deal with the UFC, talking about going back to Pride again and saying that his six fights are going to take less than 2 years and he'll be back to fight Fedor on New Year's Eve in 2009. So.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be a different looking fighter, and he's going to come in and go to work, and it'll be very exciting to see just the different. He's not so he's not so indebted, he's not so subservient. So it'll be interesting to see a fighter with his confidence and his charisma coming into the UFC.
Yeah, well, so I think it's no big secret that we're both probably going to pick Krokop. I think most people are, but you already kind of stole a little bit of my thunder, and I was going to ask you about that. It is very interesting from my perspective that Krokop, you're right. I mean, there's been no real sighting of this man. He's, like you said, he's training in Europe, I guess, and perhaps that's part of the reason, but quite a drastic difference in comparison to Quentin Jackson, who's been profiled a little bit more and done some UFC media, etc. And Krokop, very much so, is coming to the UFC with very little media or promotion in that aspect.
Yeah, I think I think that's very interesting. I would have thought that Dana would have had him over and on the TV shows to hype him up a little bit, but maybe Krokop's just refused to do that. So who knows?
So you don't think there's any chance that this is by design, where they want to have him kind of come in and knock out Sanchez in highlight reel fashion, and then boom, all of a sudden you have this new UFC star. You don't think it's by design in any way?
Well, there's definitely possibility of that. I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure if it's going to. I think it'll be very refreshing to see Krokop come into the UFC, and not just because he's going to have provide highlight reel knockouts, but I think his attitude as a real professional fighter will be very interesting.
And finally,
he's not going to come in and say it's been my lifelong dream, that's all I've ever wanted is to be in the UFC or anything like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. He definitely looks out more so for himself rather than trying to promote a promotion.
Yeah, exactly.
Finally, Anderson Silva versus Travis Luter, and I think we talked a little bit about this a couple shows ago when we had Travis Luter on the program. I guess we're all even right now, aren't we, as far as picks? I don't think we've differed on one yet.
Oh, Kelsey, I can't even remember.
Yeah.
After my acing the Pride Grand Prix, where can you go from there?
Right.
Well, what's the use?
Yeah.
I might as well pick him out of a hat.
Yeah. Anderson Silva versus Travis Luter, and this is, I think, a really, really interesting fight. I'm really excited to see this fight, and it's really, really hard for me to make a pick. I gotta admit, there's just something that inside that gives me this impression that Travis Luter is going to win. That it just seems like the UFC is due for another one of these kind of victories where a champion, they've only briefly had a new champion, they've just started to promote him a little bit, get people aware of him, and then boom, he loses, and there's something about this fight that seems to give me a hint of that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think if there is a guy, you know, if there is a guy that poses a legitimate threat to Silva, just in being able to take him down and work him on the ground for a decision, it's Luter. We'll see if that, you know, we'll see if that plan can come to fruition, but I'm going to pick Silva in the first round, the first round knockout.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's surprising. Well, I'll go with Luter then. Just maybe to add a little spice to the picks, but this is
excellent.
Great. We have to entertain and whatnot, but really, no.
Does this
you
show
really
need
do...
any more spice? Does this show really need any more spice?
You really think,
with your, with your Bill O'Reilly outlandish belligerence?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe, but sometimes I think the people want more, buddy. No, but honestly, you're picking Anderson Silva by knockout first round. I mean, what kind of scenario do you envision that happening? Are you thinking like a, you know, shot in, countered by a knee, a high kick? What, how are you like playing this out in your mind?
I'm envisioning a failed shot by Luter and an extreme and savage pummeling by Silva.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think, and you know, I think the longer I think Luter has to first of all get his range. He's got to dial in. He's got to dial in his shots. If he misses one shot, if he misses two shots, if any shots get stuffed, Silva is such a precise striker that, you know, I think Luter has to execute a flawless game plan. And the only way I see Silva losing this fight is, you know, if he would, you know, kick Luter in the face while he's taking a shot or something like that and be disqualified, which has happened to Silva before, you know.
So yeah, well, from this guard, you mean.
A confusal of the rules or something like that, but... I just see Silva's beatable, but I think in order to beat him, the game plan has to be executed flawlessly, and I don't think Luter has ever fought anyone who he's had to execute a flawless game plan. Like all the wrestlers in the UFC, the rules are designed for basically sloppy wrestling, you know, and I don't think he, but I think Silva can make him pay the price even with those rules.
Yeah, it definitely will be interesting to see Anderson Silva's wrestling ability. I try to think back on previous fights, and other than his fight with Carlos Noonan, it's hard for me to remember anyone really trying to take him down. It seems like he's been matched up as far as in the last little while against more so fighters that were stand-up, and I can't really recall his sprawling abilities, his wrestling abilities, to be honest. You know, I remember his loss to Takase in Pride. That fight obviously went to the ground, but it'll be interesting to see, and it's also going to be interesting to see if the fight goes to the ground, Anderson's ground abilities. I think a lot of people perhaps are underestimating his ground. I mean, he is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Travis Luter is definitely a more well-accomplished, credentialed Jiu-Jitsu guy, competed numerous times, won very, very many submission wrestling titles, etc., so... That's going to be definitely. There's a lot of interesting sidelines to this fight.
Yeah, I think so. I think this card makes me uncomfortable because it could, you know, it's got potential to be good, but it also has potential to be a real stinker. So, apart from the novelty of seeing Rampage and Krokop back, I think it has the potential to have a little bit of a letdown factor. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, especially if the main event goes, like you said, if Anderson knocks him out in 30 seconds or something like that, which would be very impressive, if that happens, and you're right, I mean, if Krokop mauls through Sanchez and all the fights end abruptly or et cetera, it could be a short night in that sense, and that would be somewhat anticlimactic, but I really do think, I think the main event is going to be a little bit more long and drawn out, and I'll go with Luter, like I said, to add a little spice to the show. Well, buddy, we should get out of here. I've got to get packing here and get ready for the big flight out to Edmonton, you know, so get the sled dogs ready to transverse the Arctic ice shield and make my way out to Edmonton. Has it been nice there?
Do you actually have to fly over Greenland to get here? Not the shortest route.
Honestly, though, has it been nice there? Because, like, today in Vancouver, it's gorgeous. Is it warm there?
Yeah, it's been beautiful here.
Yeah? Like, what are we talking temperature-wise?
You got nothing to worry about. I'm talking like, you know, right around zero.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure some Arctic front will come in and...
So it's been fine. Although there is an 80 mile an hour wind today, which is very unusual for Edmonton. So that could be bear with the tidings of bad weather.
It also could be a symbol that a big blowhard like myself is coming to that town.
It
foreshadow.
Could be. So don't bring your crappy Vancouver weather here.
All right, Brendan. Well, we'll see you on the weekend, and take care of the rest of the week, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.